Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming, hosts store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal stripe sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much. Welcome to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books with Zibby. I'm the host, Zibby Owens. I am an author. My latest is Blank, pub date March 1st, a novel. I'm also a podcaster, obviously, a publisher, a bookstore owner, and so much more. If you love books, you're in the right place. In fact, we call it the Zibbyverse, or really, the LA Times called it the Zibbyverse, and we're going with it. Go to ZibbyOwens.com to learn more and follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens. Kennedy Ryan is the author of This Could Be Us. A Rita and Audi Award winner, USA Today bestselling author Kennedy Ryan writes for women from all walks of life, empowering them and placing them firmly in the center of each story and in charge of their own destinies. Her heroes respect, cherish, and lose their minds for the women who capture their hearts. Kennedy and her writings have been featured in Chicken Soup for the Soul, USA Today, Entertainment Weekly, Glamour, Cosmopolitan, Time, O Magazine, and many others. She is a wife to her lifetime lover and mother to an extraordinary son, and we talk all about her son in this episode. Welcome, Kennedy. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss your latest, This Could Be Us. Congratulations.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, so excited to have you. We got to meet in person at the LA Times Book Festival last year, which was so nice. And thanks for coming to the store. You have to come by in LA on your tour.
I will. I will. My tour stop is Long Beach, so I have no sense of what that is, but
not too bad.
Okay. Maybe I'll make it by. But your whole team is always so amazing. So thank you guys for always being so supportive and sweet.
Oh my gosh. Well, Sherry and Diana on my team are absolutely obsessed. I think, you know, they've been the biggest, particularly Diana has been like, you know, you are like her number one author of all time type of thing.
The message?
Okay, good.
I enjoy it.
Oh, good. Before I did this podcast, I didn't realize that like it would actually really mean that much to authors to hear from individual fans. Like I thought like, oh, well, they must get that all the time. But it really makes a difference.
It really does. It means a lot. So especially when it's someone you respect. I mean, it means something all the time. But then when it's like people you really respect and who you look at the books they love and you're like, wow, you have great taste in books. And you're like,
oh, I love that. Okay, this could be us.
Yes.
Which is fabulous. Tell everybody what this is about. And I didn't read the previous book. So now I feel like, did I miss something? Like, anyway.
Oh, you know what? I have some behind me.
Okay. Now I'll have to go back.
Yes. So you read This Could Be Us, right? Yes. But you couldn't read Before I Let Go.
That's right.
I love that though, because it lives in the universe, the Skyland universe. Mm-hmm. That's the series. And it's three best friends and they all interconnect. But I really want someone to be able to come in at any point and read, you know, and not feel like they missed something. So good. I'm glad that when you read This Could Be Us, which is Soledad's story, the second friend in the group, that you didn't feel lost.
Nice. I don't
know. The first book is Before I Let Go, and that's Yasmin's story. Very distinct. And for everyone who read, it's interesting because for everyone who read Before I Let Go, this book is very different than that one. And I had this like sense of, oh my gosh, I hope people aren't expecting that same thing. It deals a lot with mental health. She's going through a depression journey in the first book, and it's a little heavier. Okay. This book, it has some heaviness to it. It's a woman. I really think of it as a woman reclaiming her power. Mm-hmm. You know, she is the domestic goddess. Like she is the one who throws all the parties. She has the best charcuterie board. She has the best recipe for vinaigrette. She is the opposite of me, by the way, Zippy. I am none of those things, but Soledad is. And she, you know, she's incredibly intelligent. But she applies all of that to her home. And she sees her home as an industry, you know, as her own, like her own conglomerate and her children. She has three beautiful daughters and she sees her purpose like as making sure that these women feel safe and that they grow up to be wonderful humans who impact the world in whichever way they decide. And that's enough for her, you know? And I really wanted the three women in these books to feel very distinct. Like Yasmin is, she does, you know, she has kids and she runs a business, but the third friend, Hendrix, doesn't want kids, you know, is completely into her career. And I wanted them all to be ascribed dignity and to be ascribed respect for their choices, which I think is really the essence of what feminism is, you know? And so often I'm not seeing women who are stay-at-home moms really esteemed as like, this is an amazing choice. This is, you know, a worthy purpose. This is not just, there's nothing lazy about it. And I really wanted Soledad to shine that way. So she's a stay-at-home mom, given her whole life over to a family, supporting her husband, supporting her kids. And then her husband, I mean, ultimate betrayal. I get so many messages on TikTok about her husband, ultimate betrayal. And he leaves their family in an incredibly vulnerable position. And she is in a place where she has to all of a sudden become the breadwinner, you know, and still do all the things that still create the nurturing environment that she's wanted for her children. But she also realizes there's a lot of herself that she's lost. And so this is a romance novel, you know, but it is also a romance with herself. Mm. You know, it is definitely about a woman who is rediscovering parts of herself that she lost, especially as women. We're moms, we're wives, we're friends, we're sisters, but we are people, you know, and so often like those things that make us individual and that make us special, those things that have always been inside of us, the dreams, the ambitions, all of that has often been subservient to all the other things that we've become. And so this is really about Soledad, like refinding herself, reclaiming her power, self-actualizing, you know, in a romance novel, she's self-partnering, you know, she's dating herself. At one point she says, What would it look like if I was the love of my own life? Mm. You know? And so I know a lot of people are like, is it a romance? You know? And there is a love interest, but I really, in this novel, wanted to look at sisterly love, You know, I wanted to look at friendship love. One of my favorite lines from the book is there aren't enough sonnets for friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, and what that really means is so often we are putting so much emphasis on romantic love, which married 27 years, I get it. I love it. You know, romantic love here to stay, but also esteeming sisterly love, friend love, love of yourself, which really has to start first, I think, to have a strong foundation for every other expression of love. So this is her journey, you know, and I'm really excited for people to go on it with her.
Oh my gosh. I could listen to you talk all day. I'm just like, Where's the popcorn? I just want to like kick my feet up and like listen to you go. You're like inspiring, like, you know, holding up women and who are we and let's do this. Oh my gosh.
I want popcorn too, Zimmy.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing. Well, you have this whole part of the book that you're describing, but there's another whole part about autistic kids. There's the twins who are autistic. You have an autistic son. Yes. I actually just interviewed a woman named Paige Lale. I don't know if you know her. I have to, I want you two to do a book event. Maybe I could like mark her or something. She wrote it when she was 21. Now she's like 23 about being undiagnosed autistic for until she was 15.
Right.
But I read them back to back and I was like, I have to introduce these, these authors to each other. But that also was like a fascinating part of the book with the, with the totally different. And I know it comes from personal experience. Could you talk a little bit about that and including that and how to balance even the two different storylines and all that?
Yeah, you know, it felt natural for me as far as balancing the storylines because the two boys, Adam and Aaron, they're twins, they're autistic, and they are the sons of the single dad who is our love interest, Judah Cross.
Yes.
And it felt to me, I know what you mean by like balancing the two, but it's such a part of who Judah is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an extension of how I built his character that it's like, as you get to know Judah, you have no choice but to get to know his sons because how he cares for them and how he loves them and how he parents is such a huge part of who he is. There's no way to get to know Judah without getting to know his boys.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned that I have a son who's autistic. Like I mentioned, I've been married for 27 years. He's now 23. So he was diagnosed when he was 2, you know, so that's 21 years. So much has changed, you know, in the landscape of autism. We had such a hard start. And some of that was circumstantial because people don't believe me. I mean, they're like, you would have to write this. My son was diagnosed with autism on a Thursday. And the next day, my husband lost his job. And it just created this kind of devastating, like, not that we're devastated about him, but just all of your money drying up. And at that point, like, insurance covered absolutely nothing. So it was a tough time. And there was a lot that we were negotiating as a family. It tried us as a family, especially considering how it happened for us. It tried our marriage, you know? So I have always had a heart for families who have children with autism and obviously actually autistic people. I now have an auction, you know, autism auction that I run every April, which is Autism Awareness Month, in conjunction with Culture City to raise money for autism. Like I'm in, you know, I'm an advocate. I used to run a foundation for families who have children with autism. It has been a huge part of my life's work, but I never merged these two passions, you know, of advocacy and uplifting our community and serving our community any way that I could, a community that has embraced our family and been so good to our family and my work as an author. Like I never merged those. And I talk about in the author's note how I was hesitant. You know, it's like, it's something that's so personal, but people have such distinct opinions about everything, you know, with autism, even like how you refer to, is it autistic? Is it a person with autism? Is it, you know, there's all these different ideas about how to be autistic. And I was hesitant because I always joke that my first rule of writing is Hippocratic, first do no harm. And I never wanted to write something or do something that would be perceived as harmful to the community has been such a support to us. And I was always hesitant to write about it. And then when I got to this story, this guy, Judah, I had to break it out, you know, and there's so much of my, this is going to sound weird. There's so much of my husband in Judah, you know, as watching him grow as a parent, watching the patience that this life has forced on us, you know, you become very patient and you become very compassionate. When you see people having a hard time in public, you don't jump to conclusions. You wonder, I wonder if they're dealing with some of the things that we're dealing with. You know, it changes you. And I often think like, I think this happened, obviously, Miles has his own life. My son has his own life, his own path. This happened for his own journey, but I'm in his life, you know, and it happened to us too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's made me a better mom. I think it's made me a better person, a better friend, and has done the same for my husband. And it was such a joy to write a man who is that dedicated to his kids. And that's what we see in Judah. It wasn't for me as much a research process with autism because I knew so much about it. It was more that autism is truly a spectrum condition. And I wanted to ensure that this story reflected not just our experiences, not just the experiences of a few people that I've encountered or families that we've assisted. I wanted a broad spectrum, a great cross-section of experiences. My son is, they used to call it more impacted. You know, he's older. He's still with us. He's mostly nonverbal, needs a lot of support. There's no way that you would meet my son and not know there's something going on. But there are so many folks on the spectrum who you would meet them and it's pretty much like invisible, like it's something they can mask, you know, whether it's sensory issues or whatever, and you might not ever know. But they also have challenges that need to be respected and supported. And I thought from the twin perspective, because they're twin boys, mm-hmm. I'm taking two people who are as genetically identical as possible. They're in the same house, they have the same parents, the same circumstances, and the way their autism plays out is completely different. And that was just a way for me to show how broad this spectrum is and how different it looks for everyone and how we should respect how it plays out for each individual. My background is journalism, so my creative process is always very heavily interview. You know, that's just like muscle memory for me. So the first thing I'm doing once I'm writing is drafting a list of who I'm going to talk to. And I knew that I talked to probably 10, 13 different autistic people and parents, actually autistic people and parents, interviews, great conversations, things that haven't happened for us and have happened for other people that, you know, I incorporated into the story. And then another thing that I did that was really for me, like insurance and making sure, is I hired an actually autistic editor, meaning someone who actually has autism and is also an editor, you know, reading from that perspective, making sure that I am giving those characters as much respect as possible, that all of the language that I'm using is ascribing dignity, is giving them personhood, is, you know, all of that is not harmful. That was very important to me. So that was kind of like an added step this time, was hiring an actually autistic editor before it got to even my publisher, you know? So there was a lot that I did around that just to take care of those boys and to take care of the representation so that when a parent, or even more importantly than a parent, someone who's actually autistic is reading this book, doesn't feel hurt or harmed, but feels respected. So that was very important. And for people who don't have much experience with autism, for them to get kind of a glimpse into what it's like for a lot of our families and a lot of our challenges, but also a lot of our triumphs, you know, and a lot of the things that are special in our families. I wanted people who don't have that experience to see it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Wow. Does it happen with identical twins that the autism plays out in very different ways, or does it present usually? It does?
It definitely does. Yeah, it definitely can. I mentioned that I used to run a foundation. I ran it for 10 years, actually. Started and ran a foundation. And we had several twins come through the programs, and they would be vastly different. Hmm. You know, there is a genetic component. We're still trying to understand everything that is going on with autism, just like with so many other conditions. But there's a genetic component. But you can have, I have dealt with families who have 4 kids and all 4 kids have autism, you know, and it looks different in each one of them. So.
Wow. Well, the passion that you speak about this with is so inspiring, honestly. I mean, you have boundless energy, clearly. And
I do not, Zibby.
You do. You must.
It's under eye concealer.
No, I mean, to not just cope with your own family situation, but to run a foundation and do all these other things and be writing 8 million books. I mean, I don't know. So how did your own writing career dovetail with that time in your life when your husband lost his job? Like, where were you in terms of your writing and journalism and your books, and how has that all played out?
Right. So my background is journalism with an emphasis in PR, and I was working with a lot of nonprofits. I was also freelancing, writing for magazines. What I started really doing once the autism was a part of our life was I realized that everything became autism. Like, I started this foundation. Of course, I'm raising this beautiful boy who has autism, and I found myself on television talking about autism and writing for Chicken Soup for the Soul about autism and writing in Mom magazine about autism. Like, everything was autism. And I needed something that was just my own. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like Soledad. You know, you come to a place, you're like, what's mine? Like, what is specifically, what pleases me? Where am I finding personal joy? And there weren't a lot of places of that. It felt like everything was kind of consumed. And I remembered how much I loved reading romance. You know, I grew up reading romance, and to my mother's chagrin. And then, you know, when you get to college, a lot of times you're like, it's time for the serious books. And I stopped reading romance. I was at a really place where I needed something of my own. And I said, I'm going to start reading romance again. It brought me so much joy. I started reading romance again. And I was like, I am a writer, you know, and I love romance. I wonder if I could. And I wrote, it's ironic, Zibby, because the first book I ever wrote is Before I Let Go, the one that's book one of this series.
Yeah.
I wrote it 15 years ago, never planned to publish it. So it is not my debut novel. It is one my husband reminded me about 3 years ago, and it became kind of you know, now it's going to be a television show. I owe it all to you. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But I just wrote that to see if I could. And I was like, it's not good. My husband was like, it really is. My sister said, it really is. I slid it under the bed, forgot about it. And then it's so funny because a lot of kids who have autism are obsessed with water, water play, watching water. Mm-hmm. And my son at that time in his life loved water. We would go to this river every day. It was like all the families that come to this river, we would go to this river and I'd sit on the riverbank and he'd play in the water. And this town called Rivermont started kind of like building in my mind and I'd write a little bit of it every day. And that became my debut novel, was this story that built around this river. And I was still running the foundation. I got a book deal when I was 40 years old. It's never too late. You know, that's when I got my first book deal. And I was doing it all for a while. You know, I was writing, I was running the foundation. I was, you know, still working with another nonprofit with journalism. And it just became a place where I was like, this is a lot. And really the reason I stopped running the foundation was redundancy. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that, you know, we were 20 years ago when this was diagnosed, so little existed as far as services and, you know, support. And now there's so much. And so what I saw was the things that I was providing are now provided by the government, you know, and by other agencies. And so I decided that I would shut that down and really direct people toward larger organizations that were doing it much better than I was anyway. But I still wanted, you know, to be a part of the community. So that's when I started, along with another author friend, Ginger Scott, the auction, the online book auction that we do every year. And so I continued writing. So that's kind of like where the journey kind of meanders, is being like in autism all the time and being consumed, you know, really by that is what drove me back into reading, which led me to writing. And then when I'm writing, I'm always looking for how can I give back to autism? And it all just kind of, it merges. For me, the auction, which is every April with Culture City, is a great solution because it actually aligns with what I do for a living now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I love it. Writing is my favorite thing that I've ever done. I always tell people that for me, writing is not, and I know this sounds so precious, writing is not for me just vocational. It feels like a calling. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels to me like I was put on this earth to tell stories that will impact people. Mm-hmm. It feels for me like there's something so impactful about people seeing themselves in pages of fiction, seeing their experiences, especially when they aren't used to seeing it. Like, especially when you open a book and you're not used to seeing an autistic person who is, you know, being ascribed dignity and navigating the world. And for me, especially when you're not used to seeing, you know, Black women, you know, who are doing these amazing things, who are being esteemed and loved on. And, you know, I like for marginalized groups, especially vulnerable communities, that's where I like to write, because we don't see ourselves enough in culture, portrayed in a way that's authentic, but also not stereotypical, positive, but not unreal. You know, like I'm not someone who likes to write characters that are, it has to be positive. It has to be, this can't be a villain. They can't be a this. I want to be authentic. I want to be real. So that's what I do.
That's amazing. So what advice do you have for aspiring authors?
Figure out why you want to write. You know, I think it took me a while to figure out my why. Mm-hmm. And when you figure out your why, it really determines what you write. For me, it did. When I first started writing, the first books I wrote were great. Like, they're great. Sure they are. You know, and it's the same craft. It's the same, if it's talent. But when I figured out that I really wanted to write about things that meant something to me, it changed what I wanted to write. It changed what felt like success to me. Because for me, success is first measured in impact. And I didn't know that when I first started. So I'm chasing what I thought meant success, whether that's making a list and selling lots of books and looking around at my friends and what's making them successful. And if you do those things and it's not yours, it's hollow. And that's just the most incredibly frustrating feeling, to put so much into the pursuit of something. And then when you get it, it means nothing. Mm-hmm. So for me, the advice, there's all kinds of like practical advice you can give, like, you know, make sure you're, you know, taking craft courses. Yeah. But for me, the soul level advice is know why you write. And for me, that affects everything. That affects what I write, who I write for, and what makes me, how I know that I'm successful. And it's not the metrics that other people prescribe.
Wow. Amazing. This is so amazing. What do you do to just like chill out when you're not book touring and writing and advocating and planning things and all of that? What, give me something you do just like for you.
Zibby, I am such a boring person. I read, you know, and when I'm writing, I don't get to read as much, but I am an audiobook girl, you know, like give me the audiobook because I can multitask, you know? So I've always been a voracious reader. I still am as much as I can be. I watch good television, you know, I have my husband and it's sad, but like a lot of our quality time is spent watching television together.
That's not sad. I think that's very common. Yes.
You know, we save our shows, you know, like, okay, you can't watch this without me. And then I have my family. I just moved recently back to North Carolina. We lived in Atlanta for like 20 years and I love Atlanta. It actually feels probably the most like home because our lives were there. But my son has never lived close to my family. And he, as I mentioned, is limited verbal, but the pandemic was very, very hard on us, mm-hmm. very, very hard on us, as it was on so many families. And it was hard on me. And I was diagnosed with depression during the pandemic. And I was in Atlanta and we were, you know, in this pressure cooker. And my son needs a lot of structure, no school, no services, it was hard, you know, and I was going through a hard time. And my mom always knows, like, if you ever have a mom who always knows, you won't take it for granted, because my mom always calls at the right time, always checks on me when I'm about to collapse, you know. And we were on the phone and she said I had books due, you know, in the pandemic. Miles was having a hard time. Everything was really, really hard and dark. And I didn't recognize at the time that I had depression, that I was depressed. And I had a panic attack on the phone. And my mom was here in North Carolina and she said, "That's it. I'm coming." You know, she flew to Atlanta, was there the next day. She washed the clothes. She cooked the food. She made me go write and took care of my son. And, you know, it was so much calm and peace. And my husband said, my mom was there a few days. He said, "We need to move home." Mm-hmm. You know, we need to move home. We need support. We need family. My son would walk up to me and he would go, "Nana, granddaddy." He would name our family members, just like start naming them. And he was just in his way telling us, "I want my family." And so when you ask, what do I do? Like, there's so much joy I get in spending time with my family. We haven't lived close to them. We hang out, we laugh, we eat, you know, we cook, we just have a good time. And I have not had extended family around me in 20 years, you know? And so that's one of our joys now, is spending time with our family. And like I said, reading, like if I have bags under my eyes, it's because I stayed up too late reading, you know, I'll write. And then it's late. And I'm like, I've been writing for hours. I should go to sleep. Can't shut my brain down. So I start reading a good book.
I can relate to that. Kennedy, you were so impressive. You know, your success, it just couldn't happen to a nicer person. So congratulations. And yeah, it's so nice to get to know you more.
Yes, absolutely. I hope I get to see you this year.
You too. Okay. Thanks so much for sharing.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.